Isaiah 52, verse 13. Let's listen to God's word together. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And who, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. So far, God's word. Let's keep his word open and let's pray together as we ask God for a blessing now on his word to us this morning. Please pray with me. Gracious, glorious, almighty God, what a wonderful passage we have before us this morning. A passage that reminds us of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, may these words this morning be our words. May your words encourage us this morning. And if your words need to pierce into our heart, divide our heart, challenge our hearts, make us uncomfortable, we pray that they would do so this morning. Work in us in the way that only you can through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said together, Amen. Well, boys and girls, do you know what day it is today? It gets a little bit harder each day, doesn't it, to remember what day it actually is. As we're in lockdown, the days seem to blur into each other and it's hard to know exactly which day it is. But tell your parents now, what day is it? That's right, it's Friday. In fact, it's called Good Friday. Do you know why it's called Good Friday? It's called that because someone died on this day many, many years ago. And if you think about it, it's a bit funny, isn't it? We call it Good Friday because somebody died. But it is a Good Friday. We remember this morning that Jesus died for us. That Jesus died on the cross. And that's why this Friday is good. Why did Jesus die? Well, this morning we're going to be reminded as we look together at one of the most famous passages in Scripture, one of the most quoted verses of the Old Testament quoted in the New Testament. And this morning we're not going to come away with a whole lot of things to do, not a go and do these things. Now instead, what I encourage you to do this morning is to sit back, to consider, to be thankful for what Christ has done. And it's my hope this morning that this passage becomes personal to you. It's my prayer that you'll be able to place yourself in this passage and say, yes, this is for me. Yes, Jesus is for me. This morning we're going to see that Christ suffered and died for me. That's the main idea. Simple, isn't it? Christ suffered and died for me. We're going to work our way through verses from verse 1 through 9 of chapter 53. And that's each three verses forms one of our points this morning. The first thing we're going to see this morning, our first point as we look at verses 1 through 3, is Christ's humiliation. Christ's humiliation. And the first thing we should ask as we come to these verses is, who is the us that is spoken here? Who is the we that has been spoken of in this passage? Now, the best way to explain this and understand this is that the prophet Isaiah is looking forward to the future. He's looking forward to a conversation had between believing Israelites who reflect back on what they have just seen with regard to Jesus Christ. As they think back and say, well, you know, in the beginning we really missed it. We really had the wrong idea, but now we understand. Now we really get what Jesus did and why he did it. Picture is built up here in our passage. And it's a picture of someone who isn't much to look at. Verse 2 of chapter 53. For he grew up before him like a young plant, frail, vulnerable, and like a root out of dry ground. Not really good soil. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Now, we've seen our Prime Minister on TV quite a bit lately. And if you were walking down the street of Rangiora or in Harden and the Prime Minister was walking by you, you would recognize her, wouldn't you? You would instantly know who she was and you'd be able to tell people afterwards, I saw the Prime Minister, I talked with the Prime Minister. But that wouldn't be the case if you were living in the time of Jesus and you saw him on his own walking down the street. Now, when we see pictures of Jesus, we often see this picture of a really handsome, good-looking man with a tidy beard. And if you look at him in most of the pictures, there's some sort of glow around his head. That's not the picture that our passage gives us. The passage gives a picture of someone who's ordinary. Someone who you would just walk by and not necessarily give the time of day. But there's more than that in this picture here. A passage goes on. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. It's a picture of a man who's been humiliated, a man who's made low, who's been rejected, who people overlook. And that's the picture we are to have of Jesus in his humiliation. For starters, we need to remember where Jesus came from. Boys and girls, tell your parents now, where did Jesus come from? Where did he come from to live with us? He came from heaven, didn't he? He came from heaven. And he came down to earth. Now in heaven, he had angels singing and praising him day by day. He had riches and honor and glory. He was with the Father in heaven, receiving praise. But here down on earth, he was nothing. He was overlooked. He was despised. He was rejected. And more than that, he had to come and live with us. Now, I've used this illustration before. I'm not sure if I've used it in a sermon, but certainly in my catechism class, I've heard this one. But imagine that during the lockdown, you're in a room with people or you're in your family, and no one in the family has had a bath or a shower. I mean, you're not going out, you wear the same clothes, and after a while, everyone starts to get a bit smelly. And you're sitting in this room with your family, and you're the only person who's gone and had a shower and put on new clothes. And you're sitting in this room, and you smell your family, and they begin to smell. That's kind of what it was like for Jesus. Except it wasn't that Jesus was living amongst people who smelled badly. No, Jesus was living amongst people with whom he had to smell the stench of sin. Imagine the perfect God living in heaven, coming down to live amongst broken sinners, being sinned against, seeing people sin, seeing the brokenness. Jesus walked with the smell of sin in his nostrils. Are you getting a bit of a picture of Jesus' humiliation? And then he was rejected. We've already heard from our readings, the crowds crying, crucify him, crucify him. And it's easy for us now to look at the Jews back in those days and say, what were they thinking? What were they doing? Why did they put the Son of God to death? And if I was there, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have rejected him. Are you sure? What makes you say that? Can you be sure that you wouldn't say that? The reality is, without the work of the Holy Spirit, every single one of us would have rejected him. Yes, we may not have been there with a crowd saying, put him to death. But even if we didn't do that, without God's work in our life and in our heart, we would have rejected Jesus Christ just like everyone else. And all of us are guilty from time to time of the end of verse 3 of Isaiah 53. It says that he was despised and we esteemed him not. We esteemed him not. That means, boys and girls, we didn't hold him in high regard. We're guilty of that when we take Christ for granted. We're guilty of that when we live our lives independently of Jesus Christ, even though we're his children. When we live our lives for ourselves, when we don't live lives that are thankful, when we don't give thanks for what Jesus has done for us. You see, Christ was humiliated for us. Christ was humiliated for me. Can you say that? Can you say that this morning? Christ was humiliated for me. Christ was humiliated. We see that in verses 1 through 3. But Christ came to sacrifice. And that's what we see in our second point, verses 4 through 6. Christ's sacrifice. In verses 1 through 3, we have the we often. But it continues to be personal in verses 4 through 6. How many times, boys and girls, count them up and write them down somewhere? Get your parents to email me. How many times does it use the words our, we, or us in verses 4 through 6? I'm not going to tell you the answer, but it's lots. And the point here is that it's meant to be personal. Christ carried our sorrows. Christ has borne our griefs. From time to time, you hear people say about someone, they're always down. And they walk around like they're carrying the whole world on their shoulders. Well, that's what Jesus did. He carried your sorrows, my sorrows, our anxieties, our broken relationships, our mistakes, our regrets. He carried our sin on his shoulders. He took our sins to the cross and he sacrificed himself for our sins. The people of the day thought he'd been punished. That's what the average Jewish person would have thought. As they heard the story about what happened to Jesus, well, obviously, he had what was coming to him. He must have deserved it, otherwise they wouldn't have crucified him. Jesus was crucified not for himself, not because he deserved it, but he was crucified for us. He was pierced, as it says in verse 5, for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was struck. He was whipped. He was beaten. So that through his suffering, through his humiliation, through his wounds, through his sacrifice, we find healing. We find true peace with God. Because Jesus Christ took our place. For we are simply stupid sheep. That's what our passage calls us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. What happens if you leave, if you have sheep in a paddock and you leave the gate open? What are they going to do? Well, they're going to go away. They're going to wander out of the paddock. They're going to go down the road and potentially get hit by a car. They're going to go potentially into a river or a stream and drown. They're going to be in danger. And that is the case for every single person who's ever walked on this earth. It's true for you and me. But as sheep, we don't do more than just wander out of the paddock. No, we wander away from God. Because this picture here is a picture of sin. Each of us, we have turned, it says, everyone to his own way. Without Jesus Christ, every single one of us says, my way, not God's way. Every single one of us would reject the very one who comes to save us. The one who's come to pay for our sins, because sin has to be paid for. If you're in a car crash, and especially if you cause that car crash, you're going to have to pay. Now, I know you may have insurance, but you're going to have to pay in excess. You have to pay your insurance policy, which will go up after you've had your accident. The point is, someone has to pay. And it's that way too with sin. Sin has to be paid for. Because God is a righteous God, he cannot overlook sin. It needs to be paid. But if we're God's children, we don't have to pay. We can't pay, but we don't have to pay because Jesus pays for us. He pays the excess. He pays the policy. He pays for the repair. He pays for the whole thing. Instead of us having to pay, instead of us having to pay or attempt to pay for eternity for our sins in hell, that's what Jesus saves us from. God the Father takes our sins, takes our guilt, and he lays it on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ took those sins with him on the cross and paid with his blood for every single one. Every single sin. Can you see how much your Savior loves you? Can you see how much your Savior cares for you? How far he was prepared to go? Do you see yourself as a sheep who wanders? Who would wander without the work of the Holy Spirit, without the work of Jesus Christ? Can you say this morning, Christ was humiliated for me? Christ sacrificed himself for me? Isaiah goes on, verses 7 through 9. He sticks with the idea of sheep, but looks at sheep comes from a different angle. And in our third and final point this morning, as we look at verses 7 through 9, we see Christ's innocence. Christ's innocence. Jesus was mistreated. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. We heard this morning that Pilate found him innocent, yet still he was crucified. Still he was sent to his death. And nowadays, if you read about that in the news, people would be saying, that's a tragedy. That's horrible. How can a man be sent to his death for a sin that he didn't commit? And if you were that person, you'd be crying out as the judge put his sentence on you. It's not fair. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Well, how much more Christ? How much more Jesus Christ, who was perfect? But he didn't complain. He didn't open his mouth in complaint. He quietly put up with his treatment. Like a calm lamb that is about to be slaughtered. Like a sheep who stands still before the shearer who's about to shear him. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus was powerless, that he was weak. No, Jesus was anything but. Jesus was in total control of what was going on. In fact, he was the one calling the shots. But he allowed it to happen. He willed it to happen. Even though he was innocent. And he did so because of us. For you. For me. In his death, he was treated like a criminal. Verse 9. They made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Jesus was treated as a common criminal and being crucified on the cross, something that was held only for the worst of society. It was a death that was not given to Roman citizens, because it was seen as too traumatic, too horrible. He was buried with a rich man in his death. This could mean one of two things. It's possible that's a reference to Joseph of Arimathea, who we read about this morning. But more likely, prophet Isaiah is putting wicked and wicked rich men together there, speaking about the way that Jesus was treated. But the point here is that he was innocent. That he didn't deserve what came to him. that it was a travesty of justice, but that Jesus went willingly, although he had done, end of verse 9, no violence, even though there was no deceit in his mouth. But it's because he was innocent. It's because he was perfect that he was able to pay the price for us as the only perfect Savior could. Only a perfect man could pay for others' sins. A perfect man who was also perfect God. Brothers and sisters, friends, Christ died for us. No, Christ died for me. Can you say that this morning? Can you say this morning, Christ was humiliated for me. Christ sacrificed himself for me. Christ went an innocent man to the cross for me. Christ suffered and died for me. Because if you can't say that this morning, you are not right with God. You cannot be right with God. That means that no one has paid for your sins and that you are going to spend an eternity paying for your own sins because you are not innocent. You have sinned against the living God. And there's a price to be paid for that. And the time is coming, if you do not bow your knee before Jesus Christ, if you do not acknowledge, accept your sins and bring them to him, there's a time coming that you won't be rejected by mankind as Jesus was. No, God himself will reject you. God himself will turn away from you. And that's the most terrible, the most hopeless thing that can ever happen to a person. Don't let that be you. Don't treat Jesus Christ as a joke. Don't treat him as someone who's irrelevant. Instead, this morning, join with us as God's people, as we give thanks, as we praise him, as we give thanks and glory that we are sheep who have a shepherd and that that shepherd is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to save himself for us. Praise him. Bring glory to him this morning. Will you join us? Will you praise and give thanks for what Jesus Christ did on this Good Friday? Let's do that now. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. We ask you for forgiveness, first of all, for taking you for granted. It is so easy to be casual, to brush over, to gloss over what Jesus Christ has done for us. Give us anew this morning an appreciation for what your Son has done for us individually. Forgive us for taking that for granted. Lord, we do thank you. We praise you. We bring glory to your name that Jesus Christ voluntarily, willingly humiliated himself, was humiliated by others, humbled himself, was humiliated by others, that he willingly went to the cross, that as he was dying on the cross, he had our hearts, our souls on his mind. We thank you for his innocence that makes him a perfect sacrifice. We thank you that you sent your Son to us. We praise you for that this morning. Heavenly Father, may that be true for every single person listening this morning, any single person who listens in the future, may that be so true for those who are on our hearts this morning. For those who are wandering like sheep away from you, going their own way, bring them back into the fold, we pray. Work in their hearts in the way that only you can through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, Amen. Well, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us this morning. I encourage you, if you're able to spend some time singing afterwards. There's a number of songs listed there on the sheet I sent out to you. And if you've been listening this morning and have any questions and about what we've been talking about, especially if you feel a prompting in your heart with regard to Jesus Christ, can I urge you this morning, talk to someone. Don't let that feeling lie, but talk to someone. Reach out to me, reach out to those you are with this morning, so that you too may be able to share in the joy and the hope that we have. But hear now God's blessing as we prepare to go out. I invite you before that to come and join us again on Sunday morning, 10:30, where we're going to be looking at the rest of the chapter of Isaiah 53. And we have this interesting phrase there where it says in that literal translation that God was pleased to crush Jesus Christ. We're going to look at what that means as we celebrate on Sunday morning. Let go now with God's blessing to his people this morning. Here is words of blessing from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said together, Amen. May God bless you today.
Were you there when the stone was rolled away? Were you there when the stone was rolled away? Oh, it causes me to tremble. I first.